Good morning. It is 9:02 a.m. We are here today, May 15th, 2025, via Zoom meeting for the motion hearing of OPAPA 25-002, Glimpses of Guam Inc. versus the Guam Visitors Bureau. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J. F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jared Hernandez and Joy Esperanza. Will appellant glimpses please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Thank you, and may it please the agency's discretion. I am Attorney Daniel Berman, and I represent appellant Glimpses of Guam, Inc.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GBB please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Joseph McDonald, legal counsel on behalf of GVB, and today we have Deputy General Manager Jerry Perez of the Guam Visitors Bureau in attendance.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Good morning, counsel. We have several motions on this morning. What order do you wish to take them in?
Your Honor, I would propose to take my motion summary judgment first.
It's the appellant's case, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. You may proceed, Mr. Berman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the OPA's discretion. We filed on behalf of Glimpses a motion for summary judgment May 7th on the scheduled deadline. In a nutshell, this is a simple case. The motion seeks to nip in the bud this train that got off the tracks. Based on the undisputed record of facts, GVB awarded its contract in a public procurement to RIMS, but RIMS did not submit any bid individually. Instead, Manjita Team submitted a joint venture bid, and only Manjita Team was evaluated by GVB. Only Manjita Team was to be awarded the contract. This joint venture team was Skift and Big Fish Creative Inc. and RIMS. January 21 in chronology, GVB sent notice of award to Glimpses and advised Glimpses RIMS shall be awarded contract. January 27, Glimpses timely served its FOIA, Sunshine Law request, for all documents, including, quote, bid submissions of RIMS, close quote. On February 1, the GVB response was received, but did not produce and did conceal the Manjita team bid and had no RIMS bid submission to disclose to us. By February 4th, we're on a timeline. We're on a deadline. We have to file within 15 days a timely protest because we are aggrieved. And so to meet that deadline, February 4th, protest is filed. 20 days later, February 24th, GVB sends a notice that the award was necessary and it has to proceed without delay. Although they say now it's a substantial interest of Guam problem, that squarely contradicts the record. At GVB 0051, a December 20, 2024 GVB letter says it's merely a interest of Guam need. And looking at page 51, the quote is determination of need and record of planning. Quote, determined that there is a need for a request for proposal to provide concierge services for tourists. That's their language. But that's contradicted on February 24th. And then now with this dramatic change in circumstances, they declare a state of emergency and that the marketing needs of GVB is urgent and that they're going to proceed with that contract immediately. We've documented, we've submitted briefs that kind of notice violated the code requirement at section 5425C. But that's for later. March 11th, in chronology, Glimpses files its notice of appeal to OPA, understandably because GVB has already stated they intend to proceed on the contract. There's nothing going to stop the train on their tracks. March 21, GVB signs its procurement record. And for the first time, Glimpses learns that, one, no RIMS bid exists, And two, the Manhita team submitted a team or joint venture bid. March 24th, GVB serves its decision denying protest. Again, that's contrary to the code's requirement at 5425C that they shall promptly issue a decision. By no means is March 24 prompt, when a month before they've already issued a notice of emergency and urgency to go forward. Our law that we submitted in support of our summary judgment motion is supported by the facts. They're not disputed. We have the Manhita team bid 14 times. They say they are the bidder, but nothing at DRT shows the existence of any Manhita team, no Manhita team partnership, no Manhita team license. To the contrary, an entirely separate Manhita corporation and a Manhita LLC does exist, but they're entirely separate. So what's happened is Manhita team has misrepresented their own identity. They took an actually registered corporation name from DRT and said that's them. It's not them. Then we look at the partnership agreement. That violates the RFP, and that's at GVB 0023. And that required that they show that they are registered and authenticated by Notary Public. Doesn't exist. That requires principal member to be identified. Does not exist. That requires an address for the joint venture, not provided. And last, the RFP required no person, a person has to be identified with authority to obligate it. That was not identified in the partnership agreement. And we know Manhita team is not a DBA of RIMS, and they don't make that case or even try to. How many procurement laws are violated here, Your Honor? Start with number one. I'll dispense with 5GCA. Everything is 5GCA. Section 5211G, the award goes, open quote, to the lowest bidder. RIMS is not a bidder. Section 5201F, the award goes, quote, to a person who has the capability to perform. That is not RIMS, that is Manhita team. Section 5201G, the award goes to, quote, a person who has submitted a bid which conforms in all material respects. That did not happen here. Section 5216E limits the award to the actual offeror itself. Quoting the law language, quote, award shall be made to the offeror determined in writing by the head of the purchasing agency. Here the evaluations tell us. Manhita team was the only party evaluated. For case law, we submitted to you, Your Honor, among several, ACE, PEX, Management Corporation, 1999. A non-bidding entity cannot simply buy a procurement award of a contract. We submitted to you Miltech Systems, Inc., the U.S., 1984 case. Disallowing a transfer of a bid in conjunction with the sale of its assets to a non-bidding entity, not allowed. In re Premier, 1997, finding the sale of the business was tantamount to the improper sale of the bid. The brief, we feel, in our reply in support of summary judgment was thoroughly briefed and submitted, and we have nothing further for the motion, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berman. Mr. McDonald.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I will save the many defects in jurisdiction for our motion to dismiss. And I'll try to limit my responses to the MSJ and some of the stuff in the MSJ. And that doesn't mean in any way that GVB concedes that there is proper jurisdiction, that this issue was properly raised, this case was properly brought under 5703. So the issue that's being brought up about who Manhita or what Manhita is not really relevant at the time of each speculative venture into the procedures that are going on. And what I mean by that is, let's start off with the submissions, which remain confidential, not subject to public disclosure, until the time of an award, an actual award. And the reason for that is simple. It's because the code envisions to the greatest degree possible competition. So at the time of evaluation, from Glimpse's perspective, at the evaluation, there was really just sealed bids, nothing disclosable until there's an award. Now, what were in these sealed bids? Well, these are the submissions deemed responsive, affidavits, and the offeror's proposal. The offeror, clearly everyone at GVB knew, for RIMS, was RIMS, but their submission, their offer, their proposal was something called Navigating Forward by the Manjita team. And on the very front page is a logo of RIMS and a logo of Big Fish, who, unbeknownst to, and really not in any way prejudicing Glimpses, is an agreement that obviously two lawyers did not put together. It was folks on RIMS's side and folks on Big Fish's side. And there are many zebras in the forest under freedom of contract of what agreements mean. Now, did they intend to create a formal partnership agreement that would require registration at Reventax? Obviously not. They called themselves independent contractors. And when you look at the agreement, it actually describes that the scope is a collaborative effort between two independent contractors for the services to be provided by the RFP. That's all it is. It's a proposal by the Manjita team. And it was found substantially superior to Glimpses. So even in terms of the competition that's being created, there's someone that performed better than Glimpses as well. Now, from Glimpses' perspective, there's no evidence of collusion, anti-competitive behavior. They can't even point to anything in the RFP that prohibits this type of competitive proposal. The closest you get in the RFP is formal requirements for a joint venture. Now let's also go back and take a step and supplement the code with business organizations law. And this is all about agency and who's able to do what for whom. Obviously, that agreement was some sort of agency for the purposes of this submission. But at all times, because it's RIMS's submission, RIMS remains primarily responsible for performance. And that's really all that's necessary for GVB to understand. Who they're dealing with, what they have, how competitive it is. So all this stuff about the misreadings at the evaluation stage is not really protestable here because, of course, there was no decision. But even if there were, RIMS submitted a proper bid attached to their certifications and other affidavits and documents that were responsive was the Manjita submission. And there's no prejudice arising to Glimpses at that point in time, so long as the contract was lawful and it did not inviolate, that the agreement between them was lawful and did not violate Guam law, did not violate the RFP. This proposal was a good proposal and it far was superior for above two submitters. And I guess we can address it more on the motion, the other motions, but really there's just a misperception of the way 5425 operates. Indeed, the code, the entire procurement code. Really, at the time of protest, there was no decision until they received notice of a decision. GVB complied with the code. The authorized officer attempted resolution. In the record is a letter dated, I believe, February 14th, and it's GVB 0357, asking for resolution and clearly indicating that it's not a decision. So even at that date, there's no decision. What comes next, of course, is a determination of need, not a decision. This determination of need is specifically provided for under 5425G. And once that determination of need is made, they have 2 days not to appeal, but to seek confirmation of the determination. It wasn't until the decision was issued, which I believe was sometime in March, that they actually properly had the opportunity to, within 15 days, properly raise their protest issues. I'll reserve the rest for the motion to dismiss and motion to confirm, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Mr. Berman.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll just reply to the verbal points made by opposing counsel. First, counsel refers to the confidentiality of the Manjita team bid, but we know GVB made the award on January 21, 2025, the competition's over. It's closed. The award is made. The clock is now ticking on any protest, on Glimpses specifically, to get their protest in 15 days, or else they're barred. They're thrown out of any remedies. So the FOIA goes out, and the FOIA comes back concealing the Manjita team bid. There is no protection in the language of this is still ongoing, this is still quite confidential, and people are reviewing the quality of the bids. I mean, it's over. It's over on January 21. Counsel argues that obviously two lawyers did not put it together. We object. That's testimony. opposing counsel can't talk about what two lawyers did or didn't do. And in fact, it's contrary. We can look at the partnership agreement that was submitted, GVB 0662. That's very much lawyers' work. You can just read 0662 and 063 called the partnership agreement. It's, to me, looks like it's drafted by a lawyer. But you could object to me testifying too, because I don't know. I'm speculating. Another point made by opposing counsel is that glimpses can't point to any collusion going on. And in part, that's true because the RFP at GVB 0028 required seven different affidavits from the bidders. Of course, glimpses submitted seven affidavits. And Manjita team, however, only submitted affidavits from one party. They needed and they're required to submit affidavits from Big Fish, affidavits from Skift, and these affidavits are many, disclosing, among other things, non-collusion, disclosing ownerships and commissions, disclosing no gratuities, disclosing compliance with ethical standards, disclosing compliance with USDOL wages, disclosing no contingency fees, disclosing no restriction against contractors. That was all completely skipped and omitted from the Manjita team bid, except for RIMS that did provide those affidavits. Counsel went on to say that RIMS is to be primarily responsible, but that's not a correct reading of the record. GVB 0662 has the partnership agreement. That's the failed documentation. That's where the joint venture was required to say exactly what opposing counsel said. Who's primarily responsible? And that is omitted from the partnership agreement, as was the principal member of the joint venture, as was the address for the joint venture, as was the registration, authentication by a notary public, all in violation of the RFP. Counsel went on to comment about the determination of need. Yes, and as I argued it, my opening motion, that was done on December 20, 2024, before the RFP went out, and that's at GVB 0051. And that declares that this is a normal need. This is a plain Jane need. This is a run-of-the-course regular procurement. And I read again from the 0051, quote, GVB has determined, quote, there is a need for a request for proposal. Not an urgent need, not an emergency need, not a all time requirements are suspended need, all automatic stays will be suspended. No, they manufacture that after the award. They manufacture that February 24th after they see that glimpses filed their procurement protest on February 4th. In short, their opposition doesn't come anywhere close to meeting the motion burden put on them, and the motion should be granted. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Motion for summary judgment would mean that everything that I don't find anything that needs to be further developed, and I just received a remand that stated that even after a hearing that I did not develop the case enough for the Superior Court. I'm not going to grant the motion for summary judgment today because I want all of this presented at hearing with all the evidence one by one listed so that when we send it to the Superior Court, they will have found that the OPA has done its due diligence in investigating everything in this case. And I have some issue questions, but I want all of this presented at the hearing. So the summary judgment is not granted.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Shall I proceed with our motions? Or does the OPA desire to just wrap this up into the hearing?
No, you go ahead and present your motions and we'll see where we go.
Okay. Well, I think the record is clear enough for a decision on the motion to dismiss. Because everything in the motion to dismiss can really be done with just the papers. The issue really for a 5425E appeal is whether there's a 5425C decision issued by a 5425B authorized person on behalf of the agency acting in response to a protest made within 14 days of the circumstances giving rise to the protest. What existed on the date of the filing of this appeal was only a determination of need.
No, I think the appeal was filed 15 days from the notice of award. Am I not right, counsel?
It wasn't.
My understanding is that Glimpse is filed because it received notice on the 21st that the award was going to RIMS, and RIMS was not one of the bidders, at least that they didn't see. That had been evaluated. There was Manjita had been evaluated, but not RIMS by itself had not been evaluated. And so they had to get theirs within 15 days. I mean, that's before us.
I think we have to really go back to what 5425E allows. And I'll read it. A decision under subsection C of this section, including a decision there under regarding entitlement to costs under provided by subsection H, may be appealed to the public auditor within 15 days after receipt by the protestant of the notice of the decision. So no, we do not concede that it's properly before the OPA, because at the date of the filing of the appeal, there had been no decision. The decision came afterwards.
And the OPA will find that within the Bar Association and all the procurement appeal councils that there are on island, and including this office, the OPA, we have been waiting for the Supreme Court to give us more direction on what they meant in DFS. And consequently, this office has been issuing decisions finding that people have made dismissing procurement appeals because parties have not filed within 14 days of the date that they're aggrieved. And we've made various decisions on when they were aggrieved and found when it was found to be, and there was no decision on by the agency. But I'm still waiting for the Supreme Court to speak. Thankfully, a Superior Court has spoken and given some instructions. But I don't blame Glimpses and Mr. Berman for filing as soon as they got within 15 days of them getting notice that RIMS got the award. So they were aggrieved at that point that they weren't, that it was going to someone that had not gotten a bid, or at least they perceived they didn't understand that person had a bid, the right to a bid. I mean, a contract, because they were not a bidder and not evaluated. So consequently, I'm not going to dismiss this. That at least that action is before us.
So I think if the OPA hears that part of it, then it has to be in relation to what was protested originally back in February 4th. Because if there's one thing we can take away from DFS is the requirement to exhaust administrative remedies from each and every claim arising.
And
And that
if there are five things that they're concerned about and they have an answer to one, they had better get it in here because otherwise I would have dismissed it.
well, that's the issue. And that's in our reply. There was
Okay.
really,
And
there was
until
only.
the Supreme Court gives me direction, I'm finding that glimpses file this within 15 days of them being aggrieved because a contract was going to be a notice of a contract was going to be awarded to someone who they believed was not a bidder and not evaluated in contravention of the procurement law. So at least that issue is before us.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. Of course, GVB would differ on that one. We address in our reply that there's really only a couple of issues that spring from the original protest. So, in GVB's view, not only are there issues with respect to not proceeding without a decision? There's also an issue about what can actually be brought. And of the original protest, it was very limited on what can be brought.
And I believe that's what Mr. Berman is arguing, that RIMS was awarded, was he re they received notice that RIMS was going to be awarded a contract for which they were not listed as a party that had picked up the bid, or I mean had submitted a bid. There was a submission by a group called Manjita, but there was no submission with the name RIMS.
Well, GBB, of course, differs with the interpretation of that fact.
Okay, well, hopefully that'll all be presented at the hearing, and I look forward to that because I want this fully fleshed out because I don't want to have remanded because I didn't fully investigate. I didn't realize that I was supposed to be the one asking all the questions to make sure that if two counsel don't make the presentation before me, I'm supposed to make a decision. When I was on the bench, I was always of the understanding you're not here trying this case, and if counsel fails to ask certain questions, you can only go with what was presented at trial and not try the case for either counsel.
Well,
But
it sounds like we'd be
good
wasting
about
our
that.
time with the motion to confirm, Your Honor.
Huh?
It sounds like we'll be wasting our time with arguing the motion to confirm if we're going to at least be allowed to put on that evidence.
Go ahead, but I mean, it just seems, no offense, nothing in the way the GVB handled this procurement seemed exigent. You start with the article of on October 24th, but don't get a bid out until December, 60 days. To get a bid out. And then after the announcement, you don't GVB doesn't answer questions from parties wanting to protest, and not it didn't seem exigent. I live in Tumon. I know it's exigent, but I can't come in and say that, you know, that that's the evidence before us. You guys are going to have to present that evidence and act like it. When the governor appears on the October the 24th, it would seem to me that before November 1st, you would have had a procurement out, and in that procurement saying that because of the exigent circumstances, we're going to be doing expedited procurement in this thing, shorten the number of days to get, but there's nothing. There's no showing of any exigency until you get the determination of exigency in late February.
Yes, sure.
So the motion to confirm is denied. We'll have the hearing. What day did we decide on, Jarek?
June 12th.
Okay. Before that date, I want to see the trial briefs. And Mr. Berman, you're going to need to, in your trial brief, explain where you're going to be going, because you might need to address some of the things that in the motion to dismiss that of what is properly before us. Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you for that.
And I expect both parties to present extensive testimony with every single line. Not just referring to the record, because it seems the trial court now wants me to make sure that it's presented before me. And so plead and prove your case completely.
Your Honor. Thank you.
Both sides.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We're adjourned.
Thank you. Take care.
We're off. Thank you, everyone. We're off the record.
Thank you, Ms. Berman.
Everyone have a good day. Thank you.
You guys talk. See if this needs to go forward or not.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the suggestion. Thank you.
We're off the record at 9:48. Thank you.